So if I was to go out onto the streets of Harrogate, maybe tomorrow, because there might be more people, and ask them to define greatness, what do you think people would say? So if I went out into the world tomorrow and asked people, how would you define greatness? What do you think? What words do you think people might share with me or say? Power. Being the best, the number one, yeah. Being the best at something. Power. Success. Lots of money, yes. So I want us to bear that in mind as we think about greatness and think about this passage. Because as we come and pick Mark 10 back up again, we were there last week, Jesus tells his disciples for a third time that he's going to be betrayed, condemned to death, and then 3 days later, rise again. And as he then that, it's into that context that the two of his disciples, James and John, make a request. When you come to glory, Lord, can we sit on either side of you? Now, we don't know the motivation for their request, but on the face of it, it seems that they want the best positions, the highest positions of honour and the best seats in the house. Of course, if you read the Gospel of Mark, you'll know that this is not the first time that the disciples have kind of argued or vied about who is the greatest. But I want to say that this is not the brothers' finest hour or greatest timing. But maybe it's not quite so surprising or unreasonable a request when we think about the fact that probably the disciples have still got in their mind that Jesus is going to come into Jerusalem with power and he's going to overthrow the Romans with force. Actually, it does show a little bit of courage on these brothers' part in terms of the fact that they are prepared to stick with Jesus. But actually, they miss completely that the kingdom focus of mercy and love, not power and domination. Now, notice Jesus doesn't rebuke them. Instead, he tells them that actually they don't know what they're asking. And anyway, it's not for Jesus to make that decision. That will be the Father's decision about who will sit on the left and right. And then Jesus speaks about them drinking the cup and being baptized with the baptism that he will be baptized with. And actually, James and John would have probably heard those two things, Jesus talking about the cup and baptism, in maybe slightly different ways to how we might, the images they might conjure up for us. Because if you look at Old Testament passages, they always refer to the cup in terms of suffering and punishment. The cup that Jesus was about to drink was one of suffering and death, as we see in the Garden of Gethsemane. Baptism in the Old Testament is always spoken about in terms of pain. Jesus was about to suffer the deluge of pain that he would endure on the cross. So Jesus is saying to James and John, I am about to suffer and die. Will you go through that too? And they reply in the positive, we can, they say. And actually that is true. They did subsequently partake in Jesus' cup and baptism. James was the first disciple to be martyred, and John was exiled after suffering on the island of Patmos. Well, then the rest of the disciples muscled in and were told that they were indignant, or other translations say they were mad when they heard James and John trying to get the best seats in the house. It's probable that they thought as well that they deserved, why should James and John get better seats than they? They deserved just as much, those seats, and probably a bit of a fear of missing out was going on here. Again, Jesus doesn't rebuke them. Instead, he draws them into the conversation. And then Jesus does and says something which is pretty radical. He redefines what greatness is. He tells disciples then and for us now, that the path to true greatness lies in service, in serving one another and God. And the great thing is that not only does Jesus teach this truth, but we see it all the way through his life. He lives out the path of greatness being about serving. Jesus stepped out of eternity. He left the glory of heaven to give up his life as a ransom for many. That's what Mark tells us. Of course, when we hear the word ransom, we kind of think about a payment when somebody's been kidnapped. But in the Old Testament, if we go back there again, it's used as a word about purchasing freedom, but also used as a word to talk about how God acts in order to deliver his people. I want to say that Mark 10:45 is a great verse to remember because, first of all, it gives us the ultimate purpose statement of Jesus' life and ministry. But it also tells us what Jesus will accomplish through his death on the cross. It talks about that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. To be served, not to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is our model for greatness. Again and again, as we read the Gospels, what we see is a life lived out in humility. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He went to the cross. He is our example and also our motivation to serve. He came to serve, and he invites us as his followers to do the same. Following Jesus' example, we become great when we serve others. Which actually, as we thought about the words that we thought about for greatness and the images that might conjure up in terms of the world, actually it is a really countercultural way of living. Because ultimately, often our world encourages us to put ourselves and think about ourselves and put ourselves first. There's a story of a mum who was making pancakes for her two sons. They started to argue about who would have the first pancake. And seeing this as an opportunity to teach them something, she said, "If Jesus were sitting here, he would say, 'Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait.'" So Billy, the oldest, turned to his youngest brother and said, "Bobby, you be Jesus." The reality is that we all want first place. We want the best positions at work and in life. We want to be served rather than serving others. But Jesus says that is not the path to greatness. Actually, if you and I are followers of Jesus, not only should we be obedient, but we should look for every opportunity we can to serve others. Now, maybe you're here today and think, actually, this is not very revelationary to me. I kind of have picked this up from the sermons and from reading the Gospels. We kind of know this already. But actually, given the pressures tomorrow morning that will be on all of us, that we're preconditioned to kind of compete with each other and gain power and control, it's really easy to drift away and forget this tomorrow morning when we are in the midst of working and living in the world. It's a lesson that the disciples needed then, and I would say it's a lesson that we need to hear or reinforce in our lives today. What does it mean to be great? It means submerging ourselves, whoever we are and wherever we find ourselves tomorrow, and serving others, whoever they might be. At some stage, it will probably mean that we need to do things that may be unpleasant or uncomfortable or seemingly unimportant or irrelevant. But actually, I want to encourage us that we never know the work that we do for Jesus. It may seem that this is something small or irrelevant in somebody else's life, but actually God can take it and use it. And when we serve others, we demonstrate Jesus to the world. So Jesus doesn't ask the question, who is greatest? Actually, he asks the question, who is serving? Are our lives characterized by humility? Do we daily seek to serve others? In Galatians, it talks about, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially those who are the household of faith. Service starts here within the fellowship of the church. And I want to say that actually, if we think about even a Sunday morning service, but generally what happens in the week with house groups and connections and all sorts of different things, actually there's people who serve in lots of different ways, and we should be thankful for that. But actually, we don't do it for thanks. We do it because it's needed and sometimes, but also we do it because we love Jesus and we want to show that and serve each other with humility rather than power. So it's good to serve within the church, but I want to say the greatest opportunities are in the other 167 hours, whatever we get, in the week. So what does it look like for you to serve this week at work or at school or at college, at home, in the office, and also with our neighbours? It was great reflection early on. It's seeing everything we do through the eyes of opportunities to serve Jesus and others. So can I encourage us to go out this week and look for those opportunities to serve people in big ways, but maybe small ways. But it's also about being prepared to serve where there is a need. There's a pastor, Tim Keller, in America, who talks about three ways to think about our calling and service. First of all, affinity, what do we like to do? So the next slide would be great. Affinity, what do we like to do? The second thing is, what abilities has God given us that we can use to serve? What can we truly do? But also, where are the opportunities? Those opportunities where things need to be done and we can do them. It's when we serve in that third section that maybe we get into places that are slightly uncomfortable, but those are opportunities to trust God more. To finish with, Martin Luther King also preached a sermon on this passion. I'm sure his sermon is much greater than mine, so I'm just going to say that. But I want to use a little bit to finish with that he said, if you want to be important, that's wonderful. If you want to be recognized, that's wonderful too. If you want to be great, wonderful. But recognize that he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. There's a new definition of greatness. The thing that I like about it is that it means that everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You only need a heart full of grace, a soul generated by love, and you can be that servant. A heart full of grace, a soul generated by love. James and John answered Jesus' question with the word, we can. But I wonder today whether Jesus wants to hear the words, Lord, we will.